And we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. He joins us now. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Just putting the final touches on some post-game coverage from Alcoa's big win today. So we're rolling all that out on 5starpreps.com, putting out videos and photo galleries will be coming soon. So just getting all that tidied up before tonight's nightcap with Powell.
Do you think that that Coach will discipline his team for giving up a total of 4 scores over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I doubt it. I think they're feeling pretty good right now. And tip of the cap to East Nashville. I mean, everybody was counting them out, and they came out in the very first drive of the first half and moved the ball inside the red zone. Had a little mistake there, and then they put up a touchdown late in the first half and into the third quarter to cut it to 28-14. So I think they showed well against a really good Alcoa football team today, but it was just too much Alcoa. And Alcoa did so without a few players. Lance Williams, the starting tackle for Alcoa, Power 5 prospect, he got hurt and had to miss the majority of the second half. Isaiah Bryant, one of their star wide receiver defensive backs, he was a little gimpy in the second half. And so there were some key pieces missing, but just other guys stepped up and made plays for Alcoa.
Jesse, with Powell tonight, obviously Page doesn't have state title experience with their first appearance in it, but it's been a while for Powell as well. How dialed in would you expect Powell tonight?
I think it's imperative that they come out and just get Jordan Potts confident, get him going, settle the nerves early, maybe some simple short passes to either running back or a simple screen pass or just something like that to settle nerves, get him confident, and get him engaged mentally and get him going. And running the football, I think, will be key for Powell. They've been doing that really well this year with Jarvis Stockton. So I expect some early run plays out of him. And try not to do too much early. Get settled in, get the nerves out, and then start doing what you do. I think that's probably going to be key for both teams. Page had a miraculous comeback in the semifinal week. They were down 17 points midway through the fourth quarter, came back and won that game in regulation. Jake McNamara is the younger brother of Michigan quarterback Cade McNamara, and he threw for over 400 yards in that game, 7 touchdowns. And so there are a lot of pre-game conversations between coaches during the press conferences earlier in the week about how similar Jordan Potts and Jake McNamara play and what they look like and just how special they are ad-libbing plays. So whichever quarterback can kind of get settled down and make the plays early on, I think it's going to give them a leg up in this game.
Jesse, I know Powell has a really good staff, including former Vol VFL Herman Lathers and a lot of really good assistants on that staff. We know Matt Lowe, with his success, has been a great coach, but what are the specific reasons why he has had such great success now in his second stint at Powell?
It's just the energy that he brings to the program is really infectious. And I've seen it a couple times over now in his career with him taking over and being able to lead a group of guys and give them energy and belief to do what they do and a certain swagger to them. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a team in Tennessee with more swagger than Powell. And so they go into each and every game probably believing that they're the best team on the field, whether that's true or not. And oftentimes that can kind of carry over into your play. You look good, you feel good, you're going to play good. And a lot of that translates into the way that Powell wins football games. But he's a quarterback, a former quarterback. He knows how to coach that position. And Josh Jones has been an addition to that coaching staff who's come in and as an offensive coordinator and worked with quarterbacks. And so that's been a welcomed addition for the Powell coaching staff. So I think defensively that whole staff deserves a lot of credit for taking the criticism that they got in week one and week two. Remember, they gave up 50 points per game in those losses in those games to Maryville and Anderson County and took some heat for that. But over the last, I don't know, 10 to 12 weeks, that defense hasn't given up much at all, somewhere around 7 or 8 points per game. And so it's been a remarkable turnaround. I think Walter Nolan getting in shape and getting engaged and feeling more comfortable in the Powell locker room and on the field and knowing what coaches expect of him has helped that tremendously.
How impressed were you with what the Panthers did last week at West?
they're really impressed. I mean, especially with how well West has played over the previous 6 to 7 games, but really all season long. And just really did a number on West offensively, didn't give them much at all. I'm not even sure they got 100 yards of offense in that game. Walter Nolan, if he wasn't in the backfield, he was getting double teamed. And when he gets double teamed, you see defensive end Steven Soles, a really talented sophomore, get in the backfield and cause a lot of havoc. And he's got 41 quarterback pressures this year. He has 16 sacks and one of the better sophomores in the area. And I think playing on that same defensive front as Walter Nolan, it's helped him a great deal in terms of productivity. He was already good last year, had a number of sacks as a freshman starting at Powell, but this year playing alongside Walter Nolan's really helped his career.
What is it like when you see a program that's just right there, it's within reach of claiming that elusive first ever state title in football? You've seen a good number of schools do exactly that in the time that you've been covering prep sports.
Yeah, and for a program like Powell, and there are a lot of people in that community and on that coaching staff still who still have the bad taste in their mouth from 10 years ago where they were down 17-14 in the state championship game, driving inside the red zone, and well, the opponent just kind of stuck a paw in there, stuck a mitt in there, and popped the ball loose, and they were able to recover it. So it was a heartbreaking defeat, and it's, you know, Powell went into hard times there for a little bit during the mid-2010s, and to see it back on the precipice of winning a state championship, I know that whole community has to be excited. And so it should be one of the better football games, I think, of the whole Blue Cross Bowl championship weekend tonight at 7 o'clock between Powell and Page. And I invite everybody to either come down or tune in. It's the perfect weather down here. I can't believe I'm sweating at a state championship game in December. It's 72 degrees, but I really love the venue change. I know it's just the first day, but the field is great. The stadium is great. There's all kinds of restaurants and just things to do in and around the stadium, and it's been a really good showing so far by Chattanooga, in my opinion.
Jesse, anything on the coaching opening front, maybe especially at Bearden?
Yeah, Bearden seems to be heating up a little bit. I know there's some people interviewing tomorrow. They've been doing a lot of interviews with applicants, is kind of entertaining all comers almost, if you will. And try not to mention names too much with high school football coaching searches, just out of respect for those coaches and in their communities. It's a little bit different than mentioning college coaches, but there's a lot of interest in that Bearden coaching job. There are a lot of people that believe that that job could be one of the better ones in Knox County, just with things that are going for it. So I expect, I would say over the next week sometime, I expect us to have a new Bearden football coach.
What do you think in terms of Elizabethan playing for a third straight state title, a fourth in their program's history tomorrow?
Well, like many, I was in the camp of believing that Greenville was going to be the team playing down here for a 4A state championship, and I was not alone. I would think an overwhelming majority of people, after watching Greenville beat Elizabethan by 30 points in the regular season, had the Green Devils making it all the way down here. But as Sean Witten said earlier in the week, that they learned from their mistakes in that game with Greenville. That was in like week 2 or 3 of the season. So they had a lot of time to get better, and they really latched on to that underdog role. And it's silly to think about a 2-time defending state champion being an underdog throughout the season, but that's what they felt like. And I understand that, just because Greenville dominated the headlines so much and dominated the coverage so much. And so when they came into the postseason, they were playing better football. They were an improved football team, and then they had that proverbial chip on your shoulder that so many people talk about, but I think there was really a chip on their shoulder going into the postseason, and they have feasted off that. Beat Greenville 13-7 in the quarterfinals, and then won easily in the state semifinal round, and we'll see what they got against Tullahoma. Tullahoma is another team that is making its first ever state championship appearance. This is their 100th year of football, so there's little bit of feeling of destiny with that team, and they have a good dual threat quarterback as well, and so it's going to be an interesting matchup tomorrow. They play at 11 a.m. on Saturday, so they'll have the early game.
And then what do you think it'll be like when Oakland meets up with Summit?
Well, it's a unique matchup of two defending state champions. Oakland won it all last year in 6A, Summit won it all in 5A, and then they got reclassified by the TSSAA into 6A this year. And so a lot of Division I talent, specifically SEC talent, on the field in that nightcap on Saturday night with Jordan James, the running back at Oakland. He's a Georgia commit. He's in the mix for Mr. Football. And then, of course, Summit has the Wade twins, Destin Wade and Keaton Wade, who are both committed to Kentucky. They are also Mr. Football finalists as well. And so it's going to be a star-studded night. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair somewhere. I think I picked Oakland to win 20-7. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least if somehow Summit got into the winner's circle. There are a lot of people that believe that this is the team that has a makeup that could possibly beat Oakland.
You mentioned already that you're impressed with how Chattanooga is serving as host, and you've covered a number of places that have served as the championship site, whether it be Vanderbilt Stadium or at Middle Tennessee or even at Tennessee Tech. What do you think in terms of Finley Stadium and how it is serving as host, and do you think this could be a permanent home, or do you think they want to rotate it a little bit more frequently?
John, are you calling me old saying I've been around that long?
No, I'm just saying it's moved a lot.
Yeah, well, it has. And, you know, I covered a lot of games at MTSU and 12 years in a row at Tennessee Tech and now in Chattanooga. Now, one of the things that's in its favor right now is this unbelievable weather. So it's got everybody in a really good mood. And so that's shining a favorable light on Finley Stadium in downtown Chattanooga. But as I mentioned, it's been easy going. Down and around the stadium, it seems like a fun atmosphere. They have viewing platforms on either end of the D zones of the stadium, and there's plenty of room up in the press boxes and the suites. And it's been good so far. So it's a 2-year contract. We'll see what works this year, what doesn't work, and see how they improve next year and see if they can win the bid once again. I know I did a story back in the spring that people can find on 5starpreps.com about Knoxville possibly getting involved in the mix to win the Blue Cross Bowls here in 2 years. And I'm sure Tennessee Tech, they're making all kinds of improvements on their stadium right now and their field to try to get it back as well. So it's going to be a competitive bid for the Blue Cross Bowls here in a couple of years.
And we have also seen a lot of great action in hoops, both boys and girls. And I'll tell you what, while Tennessee fans are really enjoying Kennedy Chandler this year, B.J. Edwards is off to an unbelievable start, isn't he?
He is. I mean, the numbers that he puts up on a team that's really littered with next-level type of prospects, I mean, is really fabulous. That shows you how efficient he is offensively, that he's not shooting 30, 35 times a game, but still averaging somewhere around 22 points. He's rebounding the ball extremely well once again this year, somewhere around 7 or 8 rebounds a game, and of course dishing out 5 or 6 assists. So big opportunity for him coming up next week in the city of Memphis as Catholic will travel to play for 3 days in Memphis against some of the best talent in the country. It's a big Allen Iverson production, a lot of teams, a lot of games for 3 days in a row, and there'll be a lot of interested eyes on B.J. Edwards as he continues to prove himself against the nation's best. I still feel like he gets disrespected in that conversation sometimes, and there are players that are 2 or 3 years younger than he is that he goes up against that has a lot more hype, and he puts them in their place, and he'll have to do it again next week.
What else has stood out to you in terms of what we've seen from either boys or girls hoops in these parts?
Well, tonight there's a really big matchup between Bearden and Farragut, and that's a little bit overshadowed by the state football championships, but the Bearden and Farragut girls are both great this year. The Bearden and Farragut boys are really, really good. So tonight, if you're looking to catch a basketball doubleheader, that's definitely the place to be in Bearden and Farragut. And so Bearden took on Catholic earlier in the week. The boys had a 14-point lead at halftime, let that get away late, but certainly showed that they are capable of making a run to the Class 4A state tournament this year. Remember, they've added a class in basketball this year, so they definitely have the makeup and the chemistry to possibly make another long run and maybe another run at a state championship. So, and Farragut boys have been one of the more improved programs of the last 2 years. Last I checked, they're off to an undefeated start. So really good, fun early season rivalry matchup tonight.
I know that, of course, you couldn't do with you and your staff all that you do and do so well without great cooperation when it comes to area athletic directors. We feel exactly the same way, and just wanted to give a quick heads up since we are here in Oak Ridge that Mike Mullins, who has been just an unbelievable individual to work with, Jesse, he announced that he's going to step back from his title as athletics director at Oak Ridge. He's going to stay on staff, but I can't say enough thank yous to him for how easy he has been to work with through the years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just a friendly face and somebody that's always supported what we do at Five Star Preps. Every now and then we'll see him in a T-shirt or a hat for Five Star Preps, and he's just a high school sports fan in general. But anytime we've needed anything for Oak Ridge or help with something at Oak Ridge, he's definitely been willing to do that, and he's been a staple in that sports community out there at Oak Ridge for nearly two decades as an athletic director, but for much, much more than that, whether he was a coach or just someone helping a program. So Mike Mullins is definitely a legend out there, and I just can't thank him enough for his help on our end as well.
Jesse, anything else you want to point to and promote for Five Star Preps? We sure do appreciate all your insight on the East Tennessee teams that are vying for championships.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody that all of our state championship coverage, our stories, our photo galleries, our videos, all free this week thanks to our good friend Matt Daniels at Century 21 MVP. You know, he's partnered up with us this week to provide all that coverage for free. So you can get online right now, fivestarpreps.com, read the Alcoa game story and see what happened against East Nashville. We're going to be posting photos here in just a minute from Danny Parker. We'll have some game film type documentary style videos coming this weekend as well from Sam Scott. And just a lot of coverage coming, not only with football, but basketball tonight as well.
All right. Jesse, thank you so much. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jess.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you. Jesse Spithy of FiveStarPreps.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.